Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's with Adonis. Round 23, went 3-2 on our best bets, which we'll always take, but we lost our mixed matchup, unfortunately, and the multis missed. We're going to jump straight into our round 24 best bets, as we often do in the first 5 minutes. We've got four of them, and Adonis is going to share our key reasons behind each of them. We've got a special segment coming up after that, because it's been a wild week of handicapping and markets shifting. But the four plays we feel the strongest for this round begin with the opener in the round. Parramatta, we're taking -1.5 at $1.80 in the alt line section on Bet365 and TopSport. They are away to your Brisbane Broncos, Podonis.
That's right. We're on the Eels this week. And whilst I'm expecting a much better performance from the Broncos, unfortunately for us fans, it won't be enough to be able to topple the Eels. The Broncos are really missing Carrigan's impact. They look a bit tight to me at the moment. The Eels are a super aggressive side through the middle. They're going to be able to take advantage of that. And every game for me for the rest of the year for the Eels is a finals match from here on out. So despite their ups and downs so far and their inconsistent form this year, I'm really expecting their best version from here on out, and we can lay a small number.
Then on Friday, we're taking another away team. The Sydney Roosters +6.5 $1.81 on Unibet. They are away to the Storm. Next best price is 2 cents lower. You can also back on TopSport. Podonis, why are we with Sydney?
Yeah, the Roosters are a side on the up, as everyone knows. It's going to be a great game this weekend, probably the match of the round. And I find it very hard to split these two teams. I've got them power rated equal at the moment. I think both sides can cancel each other out. They've both got weapons. And I think traditionally they play each other pretty tight when they're on form. And these two teams have been some of the benchmark teams in the competition the last few years. So I definitely feel like both sides are full of confidence and it's going to go down to the wire. And whenever we feel that, we can get a 6.5 and convert a try line. It's a great play.
Yeah, if you think it's going to be the match of the round, you can't go too wrong taking the plus over converted try too. And then we're taking plenty of converted tries on Saturday. Canterbury Bulldogs +24 in the alt line at $1.83 on TopSport. They are away to Cronulla. So this is an ugly duckling for the week. Adonis, we got very much humbled taking a line in the similar vicinity of this last week, but we're doing it again.
We did. We got burned last week taking the big dog in the Tigers. And this time we're on another big dog, the Bulldogs. And they are not the Tigers, and they do have fight in them, and they've proven to be a tricky side, and they've been able to score some points, especially in the latter half of the year since Potter's taken over. And when you talk about line value, Dogs are a 12.5 point underdog to the Cowboys in Bundaberg, 8.5 points to South, and then 10.5 to the Eels only last week. So yes, I understand there's natural line inflation when one team's got not much to play for, but I can definitely see the Dogs competing and wanting to show they can at least match it with one of these teams, and the line's just way too big for us. So +24. Is a play for us all day.
And then your North Queensland Cowboys, your second favourite team, +1.5 in what should be another great game Saturday night. They are away to the Rabbitohs. It's $1.80. Dabble, you can copy from at Jacob Wynn right now. Also available on 365 for our Kiwi followers. Why do you love North Queensland so much? Again, this week, Podonis.
I just think the market's underrating him a bit too much and not really respecting them and keeping him below some of these other sides. But I can't really split these sides either. Very similar to the Storm and Roosters game. It's a match that's going to mean a whole lot for both of these teams. And for the Cows, I think it's their last chance to prove that they can win a big game in Sydney before the finals hit. So I think they're going to be close to their best. Souths were a little off last week and Mitchell had a poor game by his world-class standards. But even though I'm wary of them and expecting a bounce back from Souths, I've got to trust the fitness and youth of the Cowboys as well. And it's another game going to go down to the wire. So let's take the points again.
And we know Dearden is out, but Drinkwater is a very capable replacement slot in the halves, and you've got the Ferrari, the hammer that comes to fullback. I would say Rabbitohs might be slightly better. I could argue Rabbitohs have even more to play for, and they're at home. To me, that's all probably worth a try handicap, but we're getting +1.5 tries. It's good enough for me. Again, same principle as our Roosters bet. If we think it's going to be a great game, you can't go too wrong getting a nice start there. Now, every week we get a market update from Tristan, but this is an extra special week. Because it was a bloodbath for the bookies on the weekend and then a mad Monday of line adjustments and market reactions. So I actually had an extended chat with Tristan just prior to this about half an hour ago to hear about how all the action unfolded, because it's really fascinating for our listeners to hear from the other side of the counter how these lines opened and where the action's been and what the adjustments have been. Keep in mind in this chat, I kept a bit of a poker face. I didn't want to give away any of our best bets. But we'll give extra respect to Tristan, who chatted to us after Toppy's worst weekend of the season.
G'day, Jacob. Yeah, and it was a very, very ugly weekend last weekend. The Saturday night in particular was an absolute bloodbath. All the favourites covered. They all won comfortably, and the overs saluted in, I think, in all those games as well. And you couple that with, I know we're primarily focused on rugby league in this chat, but with, you know, particularly on Saturday, with all the multis rolling through, all five of the AFL favourites covered as well. So there was a lot of punters. One punter had 200 on the eight of them at 100. I think it was at 180-1, and managed to get a very nice collect there. So yeah, punters were way too good for us on the weekend. We were a little bit fortunate that Newcastle got out to a big lead on the Sunday game, because there was plenty of people on the minus in that Canberra game. That game moved a mile as well. And you know, I guess from our end, like it's a concern when you see some of these teams really drop out, like that West Tigers game, like the Bulldogs Eels game, as well
Warriors
as
the
Warriors Cowboys. Yeah, so those games, because from our perspective, what happens with all the same game multis, you lay a lot of anytime try scorers, and when you're getting, you know, 78 points in a game, there's so many try scorers, that's where everything compounds, and it becomes a real problem in these games where, you know, they're just so far away from the expected line or totals that you set at the start of the week. So we've had to go back to the drawing board this week. We've had to realign our strategy a little bit. We've really circled the three games that we feel potentially could be problematic this weekend, and yeah, we'll see if lightning strikes twice, or if the sides, you know, hopefully try to lift for their fans with 2 weeks to go in the season.
That's the hardest part. It's, you know, the golden rule, motivation, 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 more than just who's available. And so you spoke about on Sunday, you're going to need to have a look at your lines, especially when the big favourites are concerned, and your totals, you're going to need to adjust. I personally don't look at the lines too much on Mondays. I used to look at the lines early in the week because I'm as curious as anybody, but I got so sick of liking certain sides on a Monday and the line had already moved by Wednesday when we did the pod. So I just almost don't look at it because it hurts my feelings now. But people were messaging me. It was kind of like Mad Monday because a lot of bookies were making some serious adjustments to their lines. And I'm guessing some punters were trying to get in early before some of these numbers move. So you give us a preview every week of the main movers and shakers of the round, but I just want to go game by game. You can talk about if there's been any movement or any action and the reasoning behind it. So let me bring up the round opener, which, you know, has two good teams playing, and that's one good thing about round 24 is teams in similar positions on the ladder are hooking up for the most part. But what's been the action so far on Broncos Eels? At the moment, it's Parramatta -3.5 on the road.
Yeah, well, this game's actually been a really, really strong betting game. And as you say, it is a cracker. You know, probably both sides are not in the greatest form. The Eels have been up and down. Mitch Moses back into this side helps, but This game, we've held the line at 3.5 the entirety of betting, and the Eels favourites at -3.5. And there's been money both sides, actually, which is really good from our perspective. It means we feel the line is probably going to stay solid enough at that 3.5. Obviously, the Selwyn Cobbo news today where he's been rested. The Broncos think they're going well enough to rest players, which is interesting. But yeah, 3.5. I don't see this game. There was some money for the minus and we were potentially considering getting it to 4, but then there was another pushback for the Broncos. So I think there's so much on the line here. I don't see this game moving too much. I do see a push towards the overs though, because despite both of these teams very much vying for positions in the top eight, they haven't been defensively sound and they'll be trying to put on some points. So I do feel that the overs may continue to shift upwards here.
Let's move to the next one, which is one of the biggest lines of the season, in fact, not just this week. And it's hard. This is a hard one for bookies. How do you ever make the line high enough when the Penrith Panthers play the New Zealand Warriors and Penrith are getting closer to full strength? I know this line has already moved a fair bit, but what did you guys open it at? And was that bet instantly on the minus?
Yeah, so this game opened at 22.5, and we sort of went up a point above the market when we went up, and we instantly laid two bets on the minus at 24 and then at 26.5. And we shot it upwards, and then this was one of the games where we really circled and said, we just want to try to get out of the road of the minus here for all the compounding elements of it. And we got it as high as 30.5. This was on Monday evening. And then there was quite a lot of money back towards the plus. And I had that sick feeling in my stomach that maybe we've gone a little bit too early here and Penrith are going to rest a lot of players and we could be in a really poor position. But they have named all their players, and they've actually named a far stronger squad than I actually thought they would, with Luai and Fisher-Harris both coming into that side. Now, we're doing this on Wednesday, so there still is a chance that there are some players that may get rested late. But 29.5, the line is now. If all the players start, I actually probably consider that the line may even jump above 30 back to where it was on Monday. But I think it's just you'll find punters will come heavy for the favourites in these type of games, particularly on the back of what occurred last weekend. So Penrith, we know, can put teams away. We know the Warriors haven't been good on the road. And if anything's to go by, you just don't know what number's enough. And I think that's the hard thing with these games when they're, you know, from both sides. Like Penrith might pull players off 20 minutes out as well. It's just a really tricky one to price.
Yeah, one observation I've got is you've been wary that Penrith could be a dangerous, you know, side for you. So you said you opened a point higher than your competitors, and yet you've instantly been smashed. So to me, that says those are punters who can't get on substantial bets with your competitors. So even if you've got the least appealing line in the market, they're still going to bet it with you because at least they know they can get a decent bet on. And in their opinion, it still wasn't enough. And the other part I find really interesting is any bets made on Monday were with uncertainty about who was going to be named. If you played the minus at Penrith, as you said, you didn't know for sure they were going to name the strongest side. I don't think anyone knew for sure Luai would be back this early. So I'm just wondering, when the teams did get named and Luai was in there, why didn't the line climb any further? Do you think anyone who'd already wanted a piece of Penrith already got a line better than what it was by Tuesday night?
I think you're probably right. And with that people that were on were already on. And I think you've pointed at the start of the conversation so valid. And that's why these Monday lines, you know, probably pays not to pay too much credence. We always go up about midday Monday. And yeah, like our idea at the start of the week was we want to be a point in front of the market. So we laid it when we were a point in front of the market. We popped it up. We got leapfrogged by a couple of the others. And then we had to pop it up again. And then the whole market just shifted out on the back of that. And then there was that uncertainty. This was the only game we suspended when Team List Tuesday dropped, because we knew it was going to shift significantly. And because, as I said, we had taken a bit of money on the plus when I think a few punters were sort of speculating that there might have been some players arrested for Penrith on Monday evening. We held it. We said, we'll just hold this here now just until we get a bit more action on the minus. And that actually hasn't come just yet. So from our point of view as a bookie, you always want to lay the minus, but we just don't want to put ourselves in a position where it's all one-way traffic. So we're trying to find that bit of equilibrium where I know there's going to be a push towards the minus late, and I'm sure that will still happen. But at the moment, it has eased off a little bit. So it'll be interesting where the next push comes from and if it does get above 30, because I probably expect it may do on game day.
And then we go from a game that's highly likely to be a blowout to one that should be an absolute cracker in Melbourne Storm Roosters. The home Storm are -4.5. Of course, this line wouldn't have moved too much because it's very clear to everybody what's at stake in this one. But have you had any bets so far? It's certainly an intriguing one, and one that everyone's going to be watching, and we want to try and find some value on it if we can.
Yeah, this game's an absolute beauty. And I was a little bit surprised the Storm opened up as firm a favourites as what they did. I think this is going to be toss of the coin job. But there was an early push for the Storm at 4.5. We moved it to 5.5, which is really a nothing move, as you know. And then there was a bit of a pushback for the Roosters at the head-to-head and at the 5.5. So I suspect this game will start pretty close to where it is now. We are short of the minus. So whether it does, 4.5 at 180 is getting close to a flat 6. That'd probably be our next move if that's where the sharp money is. But I think if we get to 6, it's going to be a truckload of money for the plus. So I think this is going to be a really good game. I think this is the game where we've circled. We said we circled the Penrith Warriors game. We've circled this for very other reasons. This is going to be a beauty. This is one from our perspective. We want to be standing this game for 3 or 4 times as much as what we are on our worst way in the Penrith game, because everything's on the line here and everything's known. And I think we'll know a bit about where both of these sides sit in the run into the finals after Friday.
And before I let you get out of here, we're going to talk a little bit about top 4, top 8 implications and markets as well. But let's move to Saturday. How about Raiders Manly? Currently, the Green Machine are -14.5 at home. But where did you open on this one?
Yeah, we opened this one at 12.5. And this is a really tricky game because Canberra's got everything to play for, and they need to win very comfortably to improve their for and against, because, for a couple of those teams, they really need to win both their games. Canberra and the Roosters and the Rabbitohs, for example, need to lose both of their games. But The Eels and maybe to a lesser extent Brisbane, the for and against is a bit more manageable. So they'll want to be putting on a number, and it really looks like Manly's checked out of this season. But just on pure form and looking at the lineups, this game doesn't warrant being 14.5. The Raiders aren't a 14.5 better side than Manly, but with the difference of desire, I suppose, for both of these sides, that's why it's moved this way. And then it could be a game where if Manly show up, it could go down to the wire. If they don't, then Raiders might put 50 on them, and that's why it's just so difficult to price. This one has moved 12.5 to 14.5, and the overs have gone off heavy.
Another lopsided game here. We've got the Sharks hosting the Bulldogs. Currently, Cronulla -22.5. Where did this one open?
Yeah, this game opened at 18.5. So this has been one of those other games which is a real sizable move. The Sharks, they're sitting second third on the ladder, but it's massively advantageous if they can run second. So they'll be wanting to put the Dogs to the sword, who have really dropped off in recent weeks. And I was surprised the Bulldogs sort of turned it up the way they have in the last couple of weeks, but it appears they have. This is always a traditional game, and that's the only thing you're hoping for. But Cronulla, that they were just rampant there last weekend. And again, this is one of those games where we're concerned about the blowout if this game gets to 20-0, where it could end up. So 18.5 out to 22.5. The overs have shifted up a point as well.
You know, you mentioned you open your markets about midday Monday. I got messages from people Monday morning that line opened 12.5 in some locations, Cronulla, instantly bet up to 18.5 and then bet again. And I heard as high as 24.5, and maybe now it's settled back down. So, I mean, you didn't open up way off the mark, but that's very unusual to have a line move that much. I don't know if I completely understand it. I guess people questioning the Bulldogs' motivation. That's not going to be in question with Saturday night, at least. We've got another kind of finals intensity style clash, South Sydney against the Cowboys, and the Rabbitohs are -6.5. Any notable moves or action on this one?
Yeah, this game has seen a little move as well for very different reasons. We open at 5.5, and then Tom Dearden's out for the Cowboys. So obviously this is a different game where there's so much on the line for both of these sides, but Tom Dearden's been very influential. So the line shifted from 5.5, got out to a high of 7.5, and now it's back to 6.5 again. So, this one you got no concern over the intensity, but the overs has gone off as well. 47.5 up to 50 flat. So plenty of points expected by the punters in this game at the moment.
And on Sunday, this is probably a good day to do something with the family if you had to miss a day of footy, but it's Tigers-Dragons. And I have seen this line has been climbing out. Currently, put up on the screen, St. George -9.5. Where did this open?
Yeah, this game, as you say, it's a good day to spend a bit of time with the family, unless you want to see plenty of points, because we've got totals of 54 and 55 in these two games on Sunday. The Dragons game opened at 6.5, and it's pushed all the way out to 9.5. At 9.5, we have laid a little bit of the plus now. So the Dragons, they've got a couple out, but the Tigers just look completely shot with a couple of their outs from previous weeks. And you got no Tamau, no Garner, and Mamalo as well. So, out to 9.5. The total points, we actually opened it at 51.5 when the rest of the market, I think, was 48.5 or 49.5. And we went 2 points above the market, and we still laid the overs and had to get it out to 54.5. So, it's intriguing. Why, you just thought there had to be one-way traffic for the overs in this, and I'm not sure why the market opened it at a normal line, because I feel like this game always had points written over it, same as the next game.
Yes, that's right. And the next game also sees the home side favoured by that same line, if I remember correctly, 6.5, Gold Coast Titans. Is that where you opened this one?
Yeah, we opened this one at 6.5. It hasn't moved. The Knights were actually a little bit more competitive. Well, they're very competitive against the Raiders, and the Titans have got a lot to play for here. Last game at home to avoid, if they win this, and they likely avoid the wooden spoon. So they'll certainly be going out and trying pretty hard. $1.45. We haven't seen the Titans favourite for a long time. 55.5. Plenty of points in the offering, you would imagine. But at least this game, both sides will fancy their chances. I see it being a bit of a game of touch footy, but it's just different, you know, for the Knights having to travel up here to the Gold Coast. So I think if one side gets out to a lead, you can probably expect that there might be a 13 plus game here where, you know, one of the sides drops their heads a little bit. But 55.5 at 6.5, it hasn't moved too much. The totals, again, this one opened, we went up 53.5, and I think it was 50.5 in the market, and it's already out to 55.5. So there's certainly been some upward pressure on the overs in all of these nothing games.
Well, if you need any more support to cheer the boys home and you need any good omens, you can always invite the Tripod crew. We'll be happy to come along again. Because only game we've been to this season, we saw the Titans win really well. Before I let you get out of here, I wanted to talk about top four, top eight markets. I'm going to bring up on the screen. Okay, it's Melbourne's top four spot to lose, but it is still possible if they lose to the Roosters this week and Parramatta wins, it's going to come down to Storm Parramatta. And that is in Sydney in round 25 for a top four spot. I don't know. It's often hard to find a value when you're at $1.08 plays $8. But are you guys kind of standing any big bets or have a lot of liability in this market?
Yeah, we got an interesting book. We have laid the Storm very heavily, but all at the $1.70 mark. And we've taken some good action on Parramatta, but at the over $3 mark. So we've got a similar sort of payout on either of those sides. I guess from a bookmaking point of view, I'd be much happier laying that the $1.10 at the moment or the $1.08 at the moment as opposed to $8. You know, that's just with my bookmaking hat on. And I think it's one of those ones where if you're having a bet on this market, if you think that, yeah, like, do you want to take the $1.08, or if you feel that Melbourne can get it wrapped up with a win against the Roosters, then maybe you're going, you back the Storm in their match. But if you think the Roosters are a chance and you think the Broncos are a risk against the Eels, then what this basically says at $8, you have to sort of weigh up in your own mind, what price do you feel that the Eels will be if they win and the Storm lose this weekend? What price will they be at home against the Storm in the final game of the season? So I think it was $9 earlier.
$8 indicates roughly 50-50. Like, that's what it's telling you, that they'd be 50-50. But would they? They'd probably still be a slight underdog, I reckon, in round 25. So maybe you just better manually betting those three head-to-heads into each other.
That's exactly right. And we actually took a little bit of sharpish action yesterday at $9, and that indicated that they were going to be $2.30, which I think was probably a slight amount of overs with all those permutations. I think, yeah, probably slight underdogs, maybe $2.15 if they win this game and the Storm lose. Obviously, you don't know. There might be injuries one way or the other, but there's a bit of momentum there. But that's sort of my thinking. I think the odds on this are pretty accurate.
How about top eight? I'm interested to know how you reckon it's all going to play out. I put it up on the screen. You got Rabbitohs, Roosters, Broncos, still a box seat, but Raiders are knocking on the door, as they have been. The Raiders have kind of been playing finals footy for a few weeks now. What do you reckon about this one, and what are you hoping happens? Where's the biggest action been on this market throughout the season?
Yeah, our biggest action by far and away is on the Broncos at to make the eight. So if anyone was to drop out, we'd hope it would be the Broncos and the Roosters. We've laid at the shorts as well. So we'd be hoping either one of those two teams don't make it in. But I guess from a punting point of view, I think you just have to sort of weigh up. Do you feel the Raiders are going to win both of their games? And they've obviously got a short price commodity here where they're $1.21. And then they're going to be, you know, short, probably shorter against the Tigers in the last game of the season. So that you've got to weigh that up, and then you've got to look at the basically all of these odds on a team to miss is looking at that combination, and then the combination of both the other sides to win the game against that. So you're looking at the Roosters here. Well, they on face value are expected to lose to the Storm, where they're $2.40 underdogs. But then they take on the Rabbitohs, and the Rabbitohs are obviously firm favourites against the Cowboys. Obviously, both of those games can go either way. But then you've got to say, what price do I feel this match will be between the Roosters and the Bunnies in the last game of the season? Obviously, whoever wins these games this week, it's going to have an impact on it. But I think that's a tricky one. I'd sort of suggest, as well as the Broncos. The thing with the Broncos is they're underdogs in this game. They should be favourites, or they will certainly be favourites against the Dragons in that last game. But I'm sure Hook would love nothing more than to knock the Broncos out of finals contention as well, even though the Dragons are long gone. So there's a lot of permutations in there. I'd just suggest anyone having a bet, if you feel any of those teams are a risk, if you like the Eels or if you like the Eels are also a chance of missing if they lose to the Broncos as well. So if you've got a strong feel for any of the sides that are playing against the teams in that miss the top eight market, then I'd be suggesting just doing the maths yourself and saying, do I feel that it's value here to plunge into that market? Or again, like we touched on, is it a case of is it better to multi those options out over the course of the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, while you were speaking, I flipped the odds to then the miss the eight, which is the inverse of make the eight. So the equation, yeah, if you go back to like if you go to the miss the eight odds, you pick any of these teams. Parramatta is a little bit more tricky with points differential, but Brisbane, Rabbitohs, or Roosters, the equation, as you said, is Raiders win times two. So Raiders this week against Manly, next week against Tigers. So that has to happen for one of these three or any of these to miss. The Raiders have to win both games and catch them. And then they have to lose twice. So Brisbane has to... Oh, sorry, that's the case with Rabbitohs and Roosters. I'm confident to say because of points differential. So you've got to go Raiders, and Rabbitohs both losing in round 24 and 25. Same for Roosters. With Brisbane, it's slightly more interesting because Brisbane could beat the Dragons in round 25 and still miss the eight. And the final game of the season is Raiders-Tigers. And if the Broncos haven't won both of the remaining games, and if the Raiders win this weekend, the Raiders will know the margin they need to make the finals, which could be win by 10 plus, could be win by 20 plus, could be win by 40 plus, whatever it is. The fact that it's against the Tigers, it's going to be fascinating. And we had that exact scenario last year. Your Gold Coast Titans were at home, knowing the exact margin they needed to get in. So that's the extra element with Brisbane. So Brisbane team was flying, that was threatening to be top four, is now in some serious danger. So that makes this final 2 weeks all the more fascinating.
Just to add to your point there, so the current differential is 46. So if the Bronx happen to get beat by 10, it drops to 36, and the Raiders, they're 10, 14 point favourites. Like they could easily win this game by 20 or 30 on the weekend. So there might not be such a big gap between it. And it's really, as you touched on with that game being last, it adds an extra layer of complexity in trying to price these things up, because we saw what happened to the Tigers. They got beat by 60 last week, and they're going to be down on troops again. It will be James Tamar's last game as well. That's the only other thing. So I'm sure they'll put in a bit of an effort for him too. But yeah, it's a fascinating week. But if you're wanting to have a bet, I'd just be looking at what you want, what you like in over the course of the weekend, and then just saying, are there any other ways that I can throw this into some sort of bet that might generate a bit of value?
That's it. It's all about, knowing what you like, first of all, based on how you judge the games, but then how you execute. So that's why I thought this was so interesting to lay the table before we break down the games this week. So I really appreciate you making the time to give us this in-depth look at the market and really sets up the final fortnight of the season. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for giving us all your insights all season. Once again, sorry to drag you onto the show after you're a bit battered and bruised from the weekend. I won't really wish you too much luck, because we might have a best bet or two on Top Sport this weekend, but we'll go to battle and we'll see how we go.
We're looking forward to battle. One thing about the footy season, you've always got another week and you just have to bounce back. We've dusted ourselves off. We've realigned a few of the prices and we're looking forward to taking everyone on again this weekend. So good luck if you're having a punt.
Thanks again, Tristan. And now we're going to go straight to tips for round 24 from Trevor.
G'day, everyone. The tips for round 24, but last week, 7 out of 8. I hate it when we get the first one wrong. Anyway, a fair chance this could happen this week too. But Broncos versus the Eels. I'm going to go the Eels. They're hot and cold, but it'll be a good game. So I'm going the Eels. Panthers versus the Warriors. It'll be a tough night for the Kiwis. The Panthers will win that. Storm versus the Roosters. How good is this game going to be? I'm going to go the Roosters in a close one here. Not real sure. If you like the Storm, stick with them. Raiders versus Eagles. The Raiders need to win, and Manly have checked out, so the Raiders there. Sharks versus the Dogs. Defensively, Cronulla look really good at the moment, so they'll beat the Dogs. Rabbitohs versus the Cowboys. Another good game, this one. I think the Cowboys might just have a little bit, touch more class in their forwards against the Rabbitohs, but this will be a really good game. If you like the Rabbitohs, stick with them. Tigers versus the Dragons. Got 70 put on them last week, the Tigers. I can't pick them, so I'm going the Dragons. Titans versus the Knights, toss up this one. 14th versus 15th. The Titans are at home, so I think I'll go them at home. So I'm going to go the Eels, Panthers, Roosters, Raiders, Sharks, Cowboys, Dragons and Knights. Good luck.
Thanks, Trevor. That's brought to us from Dabble, who support the show. If you want a Dabble account, use the code TRIPOD. If you're into your spring racing and all the group ones are back, we've got a show that's launched in the last week called No Morals, which is Benny Scarfe and Jason Campbell previewing all the biggest races of the weekend. And that goes live on the TRIPOD page at 6 p.m. every Thursday night, just a 20-minute preview show if you want to know who the boys are backing in the Nags. Thursday night, we're more concerned with Brisbane against Parramatta. Huge game. And I'll try and lay out what's at stake. Obviously, touched on it a bit with Tristan just prior to this as well that you've just heard. But the line -3.5, must win Brisbane or their final spot will come down to round 25, likely. The Eels are not safe yet either, but also are playing for a ceiling best case of a top four spot. Capewell hurt his ankle last week but is named. Cobbo rested in the last 24 hours. So that's a loss for Brisbane. And Parramatta have named the same side that smoked the Bulldogs. Only a month ago, it's worth remembering that the Broncos put a clinic on the Eels in Sydney. So we've got to think, first of all, what's changed? Well, Brisbane's lost 3 of 4, most recently at home, conceding 60 to the Storm. In terms of personnel, Carrigan is that biggest loss, and then Cobbo today. And that's why people are concerned, including my co-host, who, but honest, you've liked Brisbane the last 4 weeks, but this week you liked the Eels with me. So you're not worried about good team off bad loss? Are you concerned there's serious trouble in the Olympic City?
Yeah, it's a good team off a bad loss. You could say that, but when I look at the Broncos, they've been on the slide for the past month since they beat the Eels over in Sydney, and they've had plenty of chances to rediscover themselves, and I've liked them a few weeks to be able to do that, and they haven't been able to do that so far. But to me, their drop-off in form looks to be a combination of Carrigan suspension, the outside backs not being as damaging since early in the year, and then also we can touch on the fact that some of these younger guys, a lot of these guys did play Origin, so perhaps they're a little bit tired and their fuel tank's just on empty at this stage of the season. Can they find something in Anna Reynolds' 250th game in their last home game at Suncorp? Probably. But even that improvement, I'm still expecting the Eels to be too strong. When I look at the Eels and how their side's built, they're the exact opposite style of team that you want to choose to face when your forward pack's fatigued and you are feeling a bit frail in defense because of their offloads. They're super aggressive. They just charge the front door through the middle. And smashing the Dogs last week and getting Moses back, I think that helps the Eels reset towards the finals. And yes, Brisbane are going to have massive improvement, but the Eels are still going to be able to flex their muscles in this premiership race, and they're just going to be too strong when it's all said and done. So it's a small number, so we have to lay it.
I agree with Moses back there, basically full strength. And when your season goal would have been to make top four, and that's still achievable because this game's prior to the Storm, so they won't even know. So they've got to give themselves a chance. They owe the Broncos revenge, which is always good when you've been spanked by a side recently, and Parramatta was favourites in that game. And I do look to the forward battle first. And, you know, on paper, Brisbane's got some damaging forwards, but I just feel like Haas has been a bit symptomatic. He's been underwhelming for Brisbane, and he's the kind of guy they look to lead the way. So you've got the stronger pack, you've got the better spine, and less, because Parramatta has more playmakers, I feel they're not as dependent on one man who you mentioned. Reynolds does play as 250th, but I think Parramatta will make it a tough night for him. On Friday, Penrith hosts the Warriors, and the line is 28.5. Penrith beat the Warriors, Penrith beat South Sydney, I should say, missing three of their best players a week ago, and now two of them are back in Harris and Luai as well. Harrison's suspension, Luai back from injury. Warriors get back Harris Tavita, and Aitken is missing for personal reasons. I went to this game at Redcliffe, actually, not that long ago, and it was an exhibition, and it's kind of hard to predict anything else in this game. In terms of what's at stake, I will make a point here. I do believe there's something at stake for Panthers because I look at the ladder. They've wrapped up the minor premiership. It's all about the finals for them. I think it's highly doubtful that the likes of your Edwards, To'o, Crichton, Coruscant, Yao, Martin, the guys that have held it down for the last month, I don't think they're going to be traveling up to Townsville, I don't think they're going to be playing. I think they get a freshen up prior to the finals, which would make this game Penrith's last hit out before the finals. And that's why I strongly lean to Penrith. You had some reservations, Padonis.
I did. And yes, Joe Luai is back as well. But there was one stage a few weeks ago where week one of the finals was even doubtful. So he's well and truly beaten the doctor's assessment. So I do question how fit he really is and whether he's going to get a full game under his belt. And you touched on that the players are going to get rested next week. I fully agree with that. Penrith clinched the minor premiership last week, but it might be a case where they rest a few this week and rest a few next week, whether they opt to rest the entire key guys all in one game. I'm not sure, because I can definitely see a scenario where Coruscant or Yeo might get rested this week and then maybe kick out Martin next week. So that's the only reservation I have in taking the Panthers. I can only lean towards them, but I just feel that if some of those guys are out, then you're not going to get the best of the number, and it's definitely going to be lower than 28.5. And plus, this line also shifted, as Tristan touched on at the top of your show in the chat there. It moves 7 points from Monday. And whether that's a weight of money or whether that's people thinking the line was a bit out because the Warriors got smashed last week. But they did get a long turnaround for this game as well. And yeah, I could definitely see the Panthers winning, but it's just hard to lay the number with much confidence.
And as Tristan touched on, predicting it could get in the 30s, that's kind of how I feel as well. I do feel like this is one of those games where you can't make the line high enough. And I think it actually makes more sense for them to all play. When you really think about it, this is Penrith full strength, essentially, apart from Nathan Cleary. So let them all play together, get that continuity, and then let all the key guns sit out next week and play that kind of New South Wales Cup team next week, give them all the rest so nobody can possibly get injured or suspended in round 25, and then have a fresh team week one of the finals. That's my speculation. Of course, we don't know for sure, and we're not always right either. But that's how I see it, which is why I want no part in New Zealand in this game whatsoever. But one thing I will add about the Warriors, if you followed the pod for a very long time or long at all, you know the deal with the Warriors. Our first losing best bet of the season was on the Warriors. You know, people are always telling us in the comments, stop betting Warriors games, Warriors curse, etc. But we won again on the Warriors really well on the weekend. And I actually thought, let me look back. I feel like we've been nailing these. And wouldn't you know, the last seven Warriors games that we've had a best bet, we are 7-0. That includes backing them in the right spots and fading them in the right spots. We've spoken about the huge home and road contrast, which is another reason I wouldn't touch them here, the games in Australia. Since they've returned to New Zealand, they're not a very good team, but they've won at home twice by 20-plus points. And they have lost every game in Australia by double digits since they officially got back relocated. And it'd be easy for someone to tell you these stats now and say, oh, if only you'd bet, you know, knowing that. We've been telling you each week. We've been telling you this in advance. So I say all that to say that we've had a good read on this Warriors side. And that's why I'm fairly confident that they're not a great bet to make this weekend. Later on Friday night, Storm Roosters, what a blockbuster. Roosters plus 5.5. So pending the Parramatta result in terms of what's at stake, the Storm may need to win to secure a top four spot. The Storm also can still catch both North Queensland and Cronulla, which is meaningful because you could avoid a week one final showdown with Penrith. Additionally, the Storm are getting back Felice Kaufusi, who's going to start in the second row. Brandon Smith's going to start at lock. Munster again named at six, but surely plays one. While the Roosters are getting back some rep forwards of their own, another reason we like them, Collins and TKO are both back via the bench. But Donis, more reasons why you like the Roosters.
Yeah, I touched on it at the top of the breakdown that I really find it hard to split these two sides. And for me, I always felt the Roosters forward pack was only going to get stronger when Collins and Takeaho did return. And okay, they won't be at their best this week, given that they had quite a lengthy layoff, but I'm really looking forward to seeing them hitting their peak in the next few weeks. And the Storm gets stronger too, as you touched on with Kaufusi, and Melbourne Storm's play is elevated to another level as well, with Munster at the back, operating on both sides of the field, as we touched on. Nelson on an edge, so they got that variance in their game to be able to cause some problems. But the same can be said for the Roosters too, with Manu getting a lot more touches in the middle of the field. Tedesco's in career best form, I feel, and Kiri's playing a lot more direct and just causing havoc and, on the opposing defence at the moment. So it's going to be a mouth-watering clash. We've touched on the recent history as well between the two sides. I think six games in the last 5 years have been decided by 3 points or less. So I could definitely see this game going down to the wire. Might even be golden point extra time. And you touched on the fact there that the Eels, if they do lose the game, that's an interesting element. If they lose to Brisbane, which we don't think they will, but if they do, then Melbourne's top four spot's guaranteed, which will mean that the game means a slightly bit more towards the Roosters. So that's only in our favour. And yeah, Roosters with the points for us.
And these sides met fairly recently, about 2 months ago. Roosters had their chances in that one, although the Storm were a bit too strong. But back then, the Roosters were in the midst of a brutal run of the schedule and had more injuries. And the Storm hadn't hit their rough patch yet, so the Storm were just going a bit better. As you said, the Roosters have really leveled up since then. And we got great vision of that last week. We watched them very closely for 80 minutes. and watched him put 72 points on a team we had a best bet on. So we know all too well how good this Roosters side is. But hey, the Storm were every bit as impressive last week, putting on 60 themselves. You add in what's at stake. You add in the rivalry between these sides that you've mentioned, recent history. Now, look, the Storm have home ground advantage, but I think the Roosters are every bit as good as them. So I'm with you. I think it can go either way. The other thing about what's at stake, which I haven't really heard anyone talking about, if the Roosters win this game, they can't miss the eight. Mathematically, that's not true, but there's a 200-plus points differential gap between Canberra and the Roosters. So in reality, it is true. So if you're the Roosters, you've got to go all in here. And if you win, you actually create an opportunity. It's not what everyone wants, but the Roosters could rest people in round 25, and that would be very valuable to them. It gives them the option to give anyone a week off next week, because next week wouldn't be do or die. You lose this, you don't want to be do or die against the Rabbitohs because you're one of the form teams in the comp and you may still miss the eight. So give me the Roosters in an all-in spot under Trent Robinson, and we're catching the points as well. It's a great play, and it's going to build into our mixed matchup as well. We're taking, quite simply, Parramatta Eels to outscore Melbourne Storm. $2.15 you get for that, and that's on Top Sport. You can have a max of up to $200 on that if you need a top of your account. Use the code TRIPOD. I think Storm Roosters could be a little lower scoring. I think the Roosters are going to come with their best defense. And with Parramatta, I could see the potential that we have in this game that this Brisbane side are still shell-shocked. I don't think it's a guarantee they're going to bounce back, so I feel there's more upside. Whereas I know whatever Parramatta scores Thursday night, the Roosters will defend like their lives are at stake. So we're actually a slight favourite in the market, but we would lose in the event of a tie. But still think that's a really nice mixed matchup. And that'll be decided Friday night. But then on Saturday, Raiders host the Seagulls. The line is 14.5. So what's at stake? Raiders must win, and the plus-minus definitely matters to them. They've named the same 17 that did win the second half 20-0 last week, which kept their season alive in Newcastle. Manly gets back Andrew Davey, and he's going to start in the second row. You had both sides very disappointing in the first half last week. Canberra and Manly both conceded 22 points in the first half. But the difference is, as I said before, the Raiders turned their game around. For Manly, the only turnaround has been their season in the wrong direction, as we know, for the last few weeks. Like, but honest, my question to you is, what would it take for you to bet on Manly again this year?
I don't think I could bet on Manly again this year. I think it's going to be a case of you bet against Manly or you leave the game and pass it, because I think Manly's really checked out this year. I really question their mindset heading into this one. If you can't get up for your final home game and Kieran Foran's farewell in front of your own fans, then what do they have to play for, and why is this week going to be any different? I think for Manly, I think their injuries have taken a really big toll on them. You're getting that cluster effect that we've spoken about before, when you've got guys like Turbo, Garrick, Jake Vorovich, Jason Saab and Sean Kepi, they're all sidelined. I think it's really affected them at the moment. I think the Pride jersey fiasco has also affected them. And Canberra are the team playing for much more. We touched on it. This line's moved from 10.5 to 14.5 since Monday. And it's another one of those where I don't think the bookies really know where to set this number. I think most people would lean towards Canberra, and that does make me a little bit nervous when everyone's going to be on the same side. But the only downside that you probably would say with Canberra is that it's pretty unlikely. But if Brisbane, South and Roosters all win before them, then I think their seasons are almost essentially over. So that's a small risk you need to consider, because then they'd be relying on clawing a big four and against them. But in saying that, I can only see this line moving from 14 out to 16. So I would lean the Raiders, but not enough confidence to make it a best bet.
That's a decent point, although the Raiders would still have the hope that the Dragons could upset Brisbane. Like, Brisbane winning Thursday would not lock in a final spot. And all you need is some hope. And, yeah, we liked the Raiders last week, and they should have won by more last week, but they had that bad start. But they come in here full strength, fully focused. That's why I don't want to play Manly. And essentially, the Raiders have been playing finals footy for a bit now, so they're very dialed in. Now, on paper, a month ago, we looked at the draw and we said the Raiders would be favourite in this match, but we didn't realise how favourable, obviously, with Manly's injuries and circumstances. But as Tristan said, on paper, this Manly side still shouldn't get destroyed. It just comes down to their mindset. Like, can Dez get them up for a game? Can DCE get the team to play together? I will make one further point about how to bet this and why we're not making it a best bet. I think it's a high variance game. I think if you reckon the Raiders could get on top and dominate, you could bet Raiders 30-plus margin bets, alt-line bets. You could bet them to put on a real score, because they need to go on with it if they do get on top, right? if you like Manly and you're thinking you want to play plus 14 and a half, I would actually risk less money and go head to head. And it's not me saying that like there's no scenario where Raiders win 1-14, but I just think the extremes are more possible in this game, because if Manly doesn't show up at all, they're not going to cover 14 and a half. If they show up to play, they could actually make a decent game of this. So therefore, it's less appealing for a best bet, because the points around that that where the line is set become less valuable when it's less likely, not impossible, but less likely the final result might land close to that number. We've got a best bet in the next game, Cronulla hosting the Bulldogs. 21 and a half you see on the screen, 22 and a half in places, and then we brought it all the way up to the key 24 on top of you for $1.83. The Sharks can still play at home in week one of the finals if they keep winning, but the Sharks can also fall to fourth and play Penrith if they slip up. Talakai returns from a shoulder injury, but he replaces Tracy, who's out with concussion. Wilton is back and he's on the bench alongside Andrew Fifita, who's going to play his final home game for Cronulla. The Dogs have moved Thompson, who returned last week, to starting lock. Tevita Pangai Jr. is out. I've discussed the big line move with Tristan, but give us your additional thoughts, Padonis, on why we're willing to take the Dirty Dogs.
The Sharks have flown under the radar when you compare them to like Souths, Melbourne and the Roosters. So I do respect the Sharks because I think that they're better than maybe the market thinks. But don't forget that this Dogs team is not a walkover side anymore. They were early on in the year when they had all those struggles. But as I touched on at the top of the show, they're not as bad as the Tigers are when they were catching 23 and a half against the Roosters last week. They've got some talent on their side as well. They've got guys like Burden and Adokar that can score a try out of nothing. And I think for the Sharks, I think the Sharks are going to be happy just to grab the win here, because I think that they're in the box seat to come second if you look at who they play versus who the Cowboys play, because they're up against South and then Penrith next week. Whereas I think the Sharks are going to really feel that they're a chance of getting a home final coming second. And I wouldn't be too surprised if the Sharks do run up a bit of a score early that they might rest some players in the second half perhaps. But I just think the Dogs can hang within this number. And we touched on within a few of the recent matches between the Dogs and some of these other sides, I can't really split the Sharks and Eels that much, for example. And last week, that line was sitting at 11 and a half. And yes, we took the 9 and a half on our best bet because we felt it was a little bit too light. But if it was 23 and a half last week, I guarantee you we would not have been betting on the Eels minus. But it just goes to show that 1 week in the NRL doesn't translate the same the next week. But the Dogs for us to cover this line and stay competitive.
And this is a game where I think there's been a big market reaction, but an overreaction. And look, we've gone against the Bulldogs the last 2 weeks and we've won really well. But that actually tells you that we rated their opponents and that their opponents were in good home spots. We took New Zealand. It was a good spot for New Zealand to play well, and they did. And same with Parramatta last week. And those scores blew out. But that does not mean that the Dogs have just given up on the season. And Thompson back is a big inclusion. And I agree, like, these Dogs are not a dead side and they can be frisky. Another factor for me is that plus minus, it does not appear that it's a major concern for Cronulla, because I don't think they can get theirs better than the Cows or Storm. And those are the only two sides that they could probably potentially finish level with, or they are the only two sides they could finish level with. So look, having said that, there was a really good insight shared by Tim Moody, the Supercoach champion, on our Winning Mood show. If I give a little plug to our 20-minute live Wednesday pod, he was listening to an interview with Toby Rudolph talking about how one of their goals for the rest of the season is to put sides to the sword. What's Cronulla done since then? 120 plus consecutively. So sometimes it is that simple, these little tidbits that you do get, because with a big line, part of it is mindset. In this occasion, as long as the Sharks win, they will actually overtake the Cows, and then they'll see what the Cowboys do in the next game. But that's why I like the Dogs, and when you're getting that many points, it's enough to be a best bet for us. And then again, we just mentioned Rabbitohs, Cowboys. Cowboys will be looking to get back into the second spot. And since we're predicting that Penrith might send a B team up to Townsville, then it's highly likely the Cowboys will win that one too. So you could kind of see this as most likely what's at stake is a home final for the Cowboys. That would be big, a home top four final. The line is 6.5. Our best bet is plus 1.5 tries. And for the Rabbitohs, as we've touched on, they're not safe in the eight, which is crazy. Paolo has been dropped for Isaac Thompson. Tom Burgess is back from injury, and as is Nick Arima, and they're both on the bench. Cowboys, I mentioned before, lost Dearden to an injury that's too painful to even say, let alone imagine suffering it. Drinkwater into six and Hammer to fullback. Gilbert was also a draw last week, didn't miss him, but that's an Origin second rower that rejoins the Cowboys bench. I look at these lineups and I see Trell Mitt versus Tabu Ifido, Alex Johnston versus Holmes. No exact matchup, but game-breaking backs. Walker versus Drinky, Kalama Matangi versus Nanai, Murray versus Taumalolo. This is going to be an absolute cracker again. And before I get your additional thoughts for Donis, we're going to hear from another legend, see who he's backing.
Hey, Doublers. Robbie Farrow here, back for my bet of the round. Some great games this week. 2 weeks out from the semis, things are getting interesting for the top eight. Still some spots left available. Canberra keeping their season alive. And the top four yet to be decided. So some big games this week. Melbourne and Roosters is going to be a cracker. And also the Bunnies versus the Cowboys. Bunnies need to win this game. Otherwise, they're a danger of missing the top eight. But the Cowboys are $2.75, some really good value there. So I'd be taking that. And also the Roosters against the Storm. The Roosters, obviously, red-hot form at the moment. Embarrassed my Tigers last weekend. And a big game this week against the Storm. I think they can keep their good form going. So jump on Dabble, copy some bets, have some banter, and all the best.
How about that? Robbie and Trevor backing the Roosters and Cowboys for upsets. That's pretty good for us, but honest.
Yeah, it is. And you touched on it there. When you do look at the Cows and their best chance of winning the comp, I genuinely do feel that that needs to come from second place so they get that all-important home final to stay in Townsville. So no two ways about it. It's going to be a great contest, a semi-final style intensity, and that's what I love when you can get an underdog like that. And when I look at this line, how the bookies have said it, it's clear to me that they're pricing the Cows on that next tier down from the top sides. But I don't really agree with that. And we know the Cows are young, confident, extremely fit side. And I think that they can match the Bunnies in most areas. And I don't really feel there's too many disadvantages compared to this South side. Yes, they've got absolute star in Latrell Mitchell. But aside from that, I really think the Cows can match them in most areas. And you touched on that Tom Dearden's out. I agree with you. I had the same point. I don't really feel that they lose too much with Drinkwater there because I think that he knows the system so well. He plays his natural game. He's pretty much like a 5-8 on the field anyway with his ball-playing ability, and that just allows Hammer to come out the back. And he's a different threat, makes him a bit more explosive than what Drinkwater offers at the back. And plus, we also get that injured play theory lift that we've spoken about with Dearden because I think the players want to prove that they can still win without him. And the other factor I don't think many people are talking about is that over the past few weeks, what's really elevated their game is the return of Cotter because he was close to man of the match in that game one Origin. And since then, no one's really been talking about him as one of the premier locks, but I just really love his energy and he really sets the tone for their defense and line speed and intensity on both sides of the ball. So he's been a phenomenal player this year. And I've spoken about that, how the game against the Roosters in that recap, I felt it was a lot closer than the scoreline showed. And I think that's going to be a really great learning experience for Peyton's team. And as I said at the top, it's going to be their final chance to win a big game in Sydney. They might not be back here until the grand final if they do make it in October, that first weekend. So it's going to be massive for them. And I can really see it going down to the wire. And yeah, we've got to take the 6.5.
What you're discussing talks about the depth of this Cowboys side. Like I mentioned, Gilbert on the bench or Cotter, you said lock. I think he played lock for Queensland, but they got Taumalolo as well. So he slots in the middle at prop too. And I had the same point as well. What's the case against this bet? Well, for one, Latrell is a force of nature. He's better than anyone else on the field, as much as the Cowboys have got some stars of their own. And let's not forget that South easily could have won last week. Like, it'd be silly to doubt them or to say there's much wrong. So that game was very tight against Penrith. But that's another factor too, that the Cowboys basically had a training run. So I think that mitigates the travel, while the Bunnies had a much tougher affair that would have taken a little bit more juice. Ultimately, I reckon it's going to be a great game, as we've said. So you've got to like the underdog, especially getting over a converted try. Now we're saving the best till last. How about Sunday's doubleheader? Starts with Tigers hosting the Dragons. The line is -9.5. Garner, Malmalo, Tarmow and Seifert are out for the Tigers. But the good news is nobody that comes in can go any worse than anyone that played for West last week. Dragons lost Mbai, McCulloch and Molo. Bird moves to the centres, DeBellin to lock, Woods to prop, and Sullivan starting hooker. Some fresh faces on the Dragons bench, including Sloan. Podonis, we did both lean to the Dragons, so we can share our reasoning why, although we didn't quite get across the line for a best bet.
Yeah, that's right. And I've liked the Dragons the past 2 weeks, as people would have heard on this show. They've covered the spread both times, and you'd say they were pretty impressive in the final 20 minutes last week, going down to 12 men and being able to kick on and really win that game convincingly. I think they'll win the game once again this week, but just felt for me it's a bit of a steep line, and it's primarily due to the state of the Tigers and their perception of them as the NRL's worst team. And you touched on the fact that they played so bad last weekend that they could only improve, right? But the issue is that even with all that improvement, will it come close to covering the line? I'm not sure what really Kamali is at this point. And we've touched on the fact that at the end of the season, some of these players with some of these teams with nothing to play for, when there's a new coach, they want to prove and fight for their place in the team. But I don't think the Tigers have that here, because the thing the players know, Kamali's not going to be there next year. So no one's really trying to play for the jersey, because they're going to get a fresh voice and fresh face with Tim Sheens and Marshall in the next 24 months. So you've got Taumau suspended for ill discipline, multiple injuries with Brooks, Garner, Hastings, Mamalo, Utukamanu. So I think it's a neutral venue as well. So I definitely can't play the Tigers with the start, but I just don't feel that we're getting enough value long-term to be able to win on the Dragons either.
And then you look at the Dragons coach, who still has a full-time gig, but it's not so secretly been revealed that the Dragons have explored options to replace Griffin. So I think there's still pressure on him to get results. But then it begs the question, is this Dragons team motivated to help Griffin keep his job? And based on last week, you'd say they probably are still fighting hard. It was a really good effort that final 20 minutes, as you said. You got a man sent off and you scored the final 3 tries of the game. I look at the losses of that St. George has suffered too, and I don't think that hurts them, because it's opening up opportunities for the young players, as I've kind of talked about in the recap, because they lost those guys early last week and scored how many? 46 points, right? So then you got West. What's the case for them? Well, after a humiliating defeat, sometimes you do get a response, but I won't be backing them trusting that, because I don't know. And even if West play their best, they're still not as good as the Dragons if the Dragons play their best. So what's the case for the Tigers? Dewey would need to be best on ground like he was up in Brisbane. But on the other side of things, I look at the Dragons and I think Talatau Moan is one of the form players in the comp right now, really blossoming into hot form. And then you got Ben Hunt, who's probably still thinking he's an outside shot at the Dally M. I feel Hines has probably overtaken him, but you never know. So that's why I strongly lean to the Dragons. And on Sunday, we'll probably be watching them win by 40 and say we wish we grabbed it. I know lots of people will be on them, so we're not going to talk you out of it. Finally, Titans Knights, and the line is +6.5. So it's very similar to the previous game in that it's two sides of very little to play for, and the home team favoured by 6.5. It's our jersey giveaway, so at least drop a comment who you reckon will score the final try in the minute, because we've given out a bunch of jerseys away this year, and you might as well give yourself a free shot. For the Titans, Herbert is out, Kelly is back. Frizzell and Daniel Saifidi both return for the Knights. But Donis, what did you make of this one?
Yeah, very similar handicap for me to the game we just touched on there. And I think last week's result, that second half performance from the Knights, I think it's going to be really heartbreaking for them, because they put in so much effort in the first half. But again, it's another game where they fail to play a full 80 minutes, and O'Brien's sitting there with excuses and scratching his head again. And I felt the strength of the Knights team last week, and you saw it, was through their forward pack. That's where most of their salary cap space is allocated. And I think they really need to get into a grind, but I don't think they're going to get that style of game here. It's going to be a Sunday afternoon up in the Gold Coast, an expansive and free-flowing game, and I don't really think that suits the Knights at all. When I look at the X factor and the game breakers, they're all with the Titans. Brimson, Fifita, Tino, Jaden Campbell. I don't think the Knights are going to match the firepower, so I could only lean towards the Titans. And we also get some revenge factor as well, because when we touch on the Knights, their last big win was against the Titans. They won by 30 points only about 5 or 6 weeks ago now. And we've seen the Titans, whenever they've struggled, it's been because of their attitude and effort. They haven't turned up on the day, but I definitely think they're going to be there or thereabouts this week with their effort in front of their home fans in their last game. But again, it's another game where I just feel the line's a little bit too wide, but can't talk anyone out if you do want to lay the number.
And I'll give you a free tip as well, some free advice. You can get -5.5 on Top Sport in the alt line, $1.79. Wouldn't qualify as a best bet by 1 cent. But it's a pretty decent wager, probably the best way to play the Titans. We think they will be too strong, even without some of their biggest fans like myself and yourself, Padonis. Unfortunately, not going to be in attendance for this one. But I do kind of expect a similar effort to last time they played at home. And then they didn't have Tino for that one. So he's going to want to actually experience winning in front of his home fans, something he hasn't done since March. And they showed flashes. Like, I didn't think they disgraced themselves against the Dragons. They will be very disappointed in how that game ended. But as you said, the Titans, like, they just can't put it together for 80. That's what they're going to try to do here. And the Knights, similar story, because they showed us a bit in the first half, but they fell away second half. And talking about O'Brien and his excuses, he used that word complacency again about the Knights playing with the lead. So talk about worst of both worlds. Your team's coming 14th, but they also sack. They also suffer from complacency of thinking they're too good. So that's usually a concern with good teams, but well done. Now, if they get near last week's effort and then you add the two rep forwards, it does give the Knights a shot. That would be the case for Newcastle. Both coaches under a lot of pressure. You feel both are going to probably survive the season. But let's just say if the Titans, you know, lose this week at home badly to the Knights and lose next week away to New Zealand badly, Holbrook's not safe for certain. And you can make the same argument for O'Brien too. So that's important for them. But then how does that reflect in the player performances? Because if the coach, you know, is on thin ice, that part of the reason is because his message is not getting through. Now, when I talk about the players, to me, when I think about this game, I just think like Jaden Campbell is superior to Tex Hoy. Brimson has not had a good season, but he's a better player than Milford. And I just think those players are going to be involved in more moments, probably more tries. That's why I would lay the points with the Titans and the revenge factor that you mentioned. The Titans had a bad year, but one of their worst performances of the season was against the Knights, so maybe they'll redeem themselves. That's going to do it. Action-packed slate. We had four best bets. We had three other sides where we had a strong lean. We had a mixed matchup, multis to come, in-depth section with Tristan. I hope you enjoyed that, the insights from the bookie perspective of how these markets are shaped up. We'd love to hear what you guys reckon are your best bets, because after the Roosters won by 66, every man and his dog told me that the Tigers was the worst bet in history. But I didn't have too many people commenting saying, oh, I've just put my house on Roosters, you know. So if there's any guaranteed winners out there, I would love to hear them prior to the round. Best of luck whatever you do. Of course, never back more than what you can afford to lose. Always gamble responsibly. And we'll be back live Sunday night to recap it all. So we'll see you all then. Have a great week and a great weekend. Thanks for joining me, Pedonis. And let's